A little bit of my own humor. But appreciate that song, and appreciate, like I've said before, I appreciate the opportunity to be here, the invitation. And I will be hopefully brief this late morning, early afternoon service. I'll be brief. I won't be as long-winded as I was the last message, prayerfully. I'm going to look at a text that I enjoy thoroughly. I feel like any time I study a text, that is the text that I love greatest. And I have that issue. But you will take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalm. Again, Psalm chapter 19. As you see, my title is Knowing God. Here we do believe that in this text we know the main point is knowing God, personally. The word is epistia. You know, and so you can know God. And the chief end of man was to be said to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever and ever. Here within Psalms 19, I like to get the big idea, the big point, to the main point, the thrust of the text, and that is this. And we can know God. The text can be broken. And that's the scriptures, but it leads into verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. But I'm going to die. Worship God through it. If you will, the second book, Redeemer. Let's pray. Father God, we come to You and making our petitions known to You. Lord, through the service we see in Your Word that we are to know You, and we can know You through the creation, through Your Scriptures, and we can understand and know You even in our hearts, in our conscience, in our minds. And we pray that You would bring it up. Glory and for Your honor, that we would live our lives to serve and worship You. Lord God, we thank You, we praise You and glorify You. We worship You for who You are. We thank You for everything. In Christ's name I do pray. Amen. To know God, when it comes to you and I, I've heard preachers get up behind the pulpit and they would be preaching on text, and they would be preaching, and then they would stop. They would say such a statement, and I would say, what a shame it is that a man of God who knows the Word, who is preaching to the people of God, is not a theologian. He should be. A man who stands behind the pulpit, he needs to know. Here this morning, because you and you need to know God, because that is what God. A man or woman, a preacher, a member, it doesn't matter. You need to know God. To know God, glorify and enjoy Him forever. That is the great end, the great purpose, the goal, the aim of our lives. With God. Okay? And so here is David. A psalm of David says to the chief musician, a psalm of David. It begins by saying, the heavens declare the glory. For the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of the chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. And his going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. So we see, first of all, David, by understanding to see God. Is glorious. Day after day, I speak and not share with knowledge. Shows the wisdom of God. It shows the knowledge of God. I think of Proverbs. I love Proverbs. All that we think of wisdom. Wisdom is interwoven in all creation. It is in His handiwork. But also, wisdom is to show God is glorious. Okay, His knowledge, His wisdom, truth. Day unto day, utter speech, and night unto night, showeth knowledge. But we're walking down the sun go down and enjoy the moment. I don't know about you, I love being captivated just by the sky, just watching the sun go down, just to see how beautiful it is. I cannot control that, but it's beautiful, and it's something that is a blessing in our lives that we can experience and we can enjoy and be blessed by. But notice what he says in verse 3, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So he's taken by the sight. And not just taken by the sight and by the what it has to say, but notice there's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So basically, it's not the sky going, hey, hey, our God is glorious. No, he's not whispering. The sky does not whisper. No, if you look at so to say the and know and see the glory of God. Their line is God. How does he picture? He paints another picture. He says two things. It says bridegroom and it says a runner. A bridegroom coming out of his chamber. So now, let's picture this for just a moment to describe. Thank you. says a bridegroom coming up. It's not about the clothing. It's not about everything that is all in perfection. No, it's about the rejoicing that the bridegroom is partaking in. He's rejoicing that he's going to unto his wife. But then he says, as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. So there's a different kind of... The bride... Strange. I tried running. I don't like it. You know, I get done. It's not for me, okay? But when my... There's a God, first one, the heavens declare, they preach, they tell, they shout the glory of God, and the firmament, the heavens, the sky, showeth His handiwork. He's a great God. He's a glorious God. Secondly, we go on. Verse 7, the Lord... So we see the Lord... Honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, in the keeping of them there is a great reward. So he's rejoicing, he's captivated, he's taken by no. From the sky to know God. You need the Word. You need Scripture. You need this book right here. Right here. You need this right here to know God. Creation's not enough. And I just want to say this, just a side note, you don't have to pay me any extra. I'm kidding. God gave us this book, and it's by His love and His grace and mercy that we even have it. And I'm not just talking about the many men who died for it, that we would have it in our language. But I'm talking about the fact that God even thought enough that He would reveal Himself to us. God did not own a revelation of who He is. He could have created us and left us here on earth, just scattered around doing whatever, and not have ever given us His Word. And we could have, and you know what, we did not deserve by His mercy and grace that we even have this Word. We can know God, and that is a blessing in and of itself. And we can know God through not just the sky, but through Scripture. The Word brings us to know God. I think about it also this way. I knew an arborist. I worked for an arborist cutting down some trees for just a little while. And he was what you would call a Gnostic, okay? He believed in a God. But he believed that you cannot just know God. He believed that you can know God.
we can only make up.
I'm like, that's insanity. He's given us His Word. Well, how do you know that Word? We need to know God Himself. We need to get in person. This is why I said the word epistemology. It is the understanding of knowing. We can know God by His glory. We see the law, the commandments of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, and we see the judgment of the Lord. All referring to the Lord, but and then it doesn't just make up the Scriptures as a whole, but we see God's truth. We see God. He has given us order. He has given us a purpose. He's given us everything. And how can we know that? That's through His Word. You know, we'll see that as we progress forward into the last point, but it is through the Word of God that we know Him. I think I stretched that out a little far. But then going down, how David expresses this, he says that we can know God through His Word, but then verse 10 through 11, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. But then moreover by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. So now he's saying, not just we need more than creation, but we need the Word of God, and we're blessed with the Word of God, and we have the Scriptures, we have the Word. Great reward. Verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold. I'm running quick. Forgive me, I'm getting tongue-tied and all that, but slow down a little bit. Verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold. He's saying, this word right here, I desire them more than gold. If there was something reward comes from the fruit of the Word of God. Notice what he says. Verse 7, the law of the Lord, it revives. We'll see how this connects to the gospel in a little bit as well. I love the Psalms because it's a clear understanding. And Christ even refers back to the Psalms often. But it is one to prophesy of Christ to come and is ultimately pointing to Christ. And we'll see that I love the Psalms for that. But we see that it gives life, it gives joy, it gives wisdom. And he says, this is why I desire it more than anything in life. But then lastly, we see in verse 11 through 14, moreover, like I said, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, in the keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from sumptuous sins. Let them not... So, to go back... Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. But before he even got to that point, what does he say before that? Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, which is talking about the great transgression in verse 13. But notice, let's read it. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and be innocent from the great transgression. So, two things he mentions here. Two things that he sees in his life, he knows are because he sees in the great because I want to, because I find pleasure in. I find pleasure in my sins more than I find pleasure in the things of God. But that's because of our sin, because of our nature. And he says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Keep me back from them. Let me not go to them. May I not find no more pleasure in them. But as he says, I rejoice in the Word. Let us have more pleasure in the Word and in God than we do in our sins. But he says, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. So he's not just saying, hey, I see my sins, I've seen my errors. From the great transgression, which is the sin against God. But then verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let the words of my mouth, those things that are outward, expressed, the things that we do when we are at work, what we say, what we do by example, by our way of living, that's pretty clear. But then also the words of the meditation of my heart, not just the things that are external, but also internal, the things that we think about, the things that are constantly consuming us, those pleasures that we find in our sins. Let us have pleasures in God. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. Whose sight? God's sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And the last point I'm bringing to a close here is that we see the gospel through all the Psalms because the Word of God here brings life, it brings wisdom, and it brings joy. But then we read John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Word came here on earth. He was made flesh. Who was that? That was Christ. Relationship restored, we might be reconciled to God. Thus, we are alive before God. We are alive in Christ. And in Christ we rejoice. We no longer have the pleasures. We no longer find joy and happiness in sin, but no, we find joy and happiness in Christ. Thus, David is saying here, in the Word, he has found life, joy, wisdom. And this is bringing him to the point of verse 14, that everything I do, whether internally or externally, that they might be upright, and that they might be acceptable and perfect and righteous in God's sight. The one who's created everything, the one who's glorious, who's created me for His purpose, but that I might return to Him and that I might rejoice in Him. What are you living for, my friend? If you don't know Christ this morning, I want to encourage you, turn to Christ, look to Christ, believe in Christ. For the only way that you can have a relationship with Him, for you to have full, ultimate joy, satisfaction in your life, is in Christ and Him alone. I point you to Christ. Christian, what about you? You're living anything for anything other than Christ? I guarantee you are not as satisfied and joyful as you want to be and should be. Because it's only in Christ that we're saved and satisfied. That's one thing I love about the gospel. I encourage you, look to Christ and Christ alone. Let's pray one more time. Father God, I thank You once again for everything. We praise You for You are great and You are holy. And Father, I pray that You be with this church as they continue forward, as they are looking for a pastor to lead them and guide them through Your Word, that He might preach the Word, but that He would lead them through Your Word to walk in light of holiness. Lord Father, I pray that You'd lead them and guide them to find a man to fill that shoes, and that they might go out preaching the gospel, that they would baptize and disciple and ultimately bring glory to You and worship You. For there is a people among all the earth that do not know You, do not worship You. We must go tell. Father, we love You, we thank You and praise You for everything. May we find salvation and satisfaction in You and You alone. I pray You bless. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.